Hey everyone, this is John.
And it's Carlos.
And this is the John and Carlos Show, episode the next one. I think we're up to 21. I don't know.
The next one. Dude, I've lost track. It's so much shit going on in my life, I lost track of everything.
That's okay. We're back now, and we got a good show planned. So if this is your first time listening, thanks for joining us. You can download previous episodes on iTunes. Just do a search for Gamers Unanimous. And there you'll also find our other podcasts, the Nickel Film Podcast and the Nintendo Show. And you can even stream our episodes now on our Facebook, facebook.com/GamersUnanimous, or, you know, whatever the URL is.
So, yeah, things like that.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of important. I should learn that at some point.
You should.
It was a hot day in sunny Orlando yet again, and I gotta say that 92 degrees is way too hot for this time of year. How are things in the Midwest?
Well, right now we got hit with thunderstorm and hail, and it was like a good 69 degrees today.
Wow, that's
But the highest has been all week. It's been like 89 actually.
Now, so you're just as warm as we are here.
It's gonna be a horrible summer.
Yep, another scorcher. Yeah, I was looking forward to one more month of possibly a low electric bill, but no, apparently the universe has other plans for me.
Florida's, fuck you, I'm going to charge you more.
I mean, it could at least rain, you know, and get a couple of, 20 minutes break from the heat, but...
Oh, don't worry, when the summer comes, you'll get that 30 minutes of rain every 3 o'clock.
And it'll just be muggy.
And then muggy the rest of the day, and then you actually have to put the AC even lower.
Yep. All right. Anyway, let's. Our podcast is not about the weather in Florida. Our podcast today is actually about game reviews and how game reviews affect sales of games. So, Carlos, generally speaking, how much do game reviews affect your purchase of a game?
Well, it does actually make a difference sometimes, like on certain games. But when you know, like when it's like. No name games, you know, like games are not hyped up of any sort. Like it's not like your Mass Effects, your Halos, Forzas, you know, Mario games. You know, those games will always, okay, usually 90% of the time it'll be good. But like games that, like, I don't know, I can't even think of one right now because I don't even know if I have one.
So I guess what you're saying is high profile games that generally review positively, the reviews don't really affect your score, but when a game is lower profile and reviews really well, that brings more attention to it and makes you more likely to buy it.
Exactly, because then I know where my money's going.
So what if a really high profile game, let's say the next Halo, reviews really poorly, so let's say it's generally
actually funny you mentioned that, because the last game I bought was actually Need for Speed The Run, and I got a pretty bad score on it because supposedly it was such a short game. But I love it. My fiance loves it. And that score didn't really affect me. It's kind of like, oh, it got a 6.8. I'm still buying it.
See, and I think that's one of the problems of like a 1 to 10 scale or the general grading rubric of reviews in general, because a 6.8 isn't a terrible score. If 5 is supposed to be average, then a 6.8 is still above average and is probably a pretty decent game. But because of the nature of the internet and because a lot of review outlets are only reviewing games that are good, a 6.8 is kind of the lower end of games they actually review.
I just feel like with most reviews nowadays, it feels like everybody is too spoiled, honestly. It's kind of like, yeah, I understand, you know, it's a very competitive market, but at the same time, you know, not every game can be a perfect 10, you know, and it just feels like it's every game, especially every game developer that's like, you know, a no-name game developer has too much stress on them. It's kind of like, oh, if we don't get a 10, we're not going to get, you know, good selling, you know, and it's kind of like, I just feel like nowadays everybody's just spoiled when it comes to, you know, reviews like that. Just, it's like if Mario, it's like Nintendo was supposed to come out with a new Mario game and it's the shittiest Mario game in the world, which obviously won't happen, but you know, you always have, or better yet, how about this, Legend of Zelda, okay? Thank you. My fiance just yelled it out from the room. Wind Waker, that was the one that just like halted a lot of fanboys. It's kind of like, I don't know if I should play this game. Or Mario Sunshine, again, another game. It's like we had Super Mario World, then we had Mario 64, and then it's kind of like everybody just slams on the brakes. It's kind of like, Oh, shit. Yeah, Sunshine.
Both of those games that you just mentioned reviewed really well, but yeah, there was a bit of a backlash. Like, a lot of people would, because of the cell shading in Wind Waker, would refer to it as Zelda, but that game has, I think, grown on people over time. Like, there's backlash in the beginning, but now it's a lot of people's favorite Zelda, and it's a really good game. Mario Sunshine, I'm not really a fan of, but not because of the water pack, even though I think that the parts of the water pack were the best parts of the game, but because of the cornucopia of collectibles. There are tons of shines, which are basically the stars in the game, and there are a lot of collect quests to get them, like collect all the red coins, collect all the blue coins, wash 2 points in the wall within a certain time between each other. Just a lot of collecting going on. That was the one Mario game I didn't feel compelled to go back and get.
Yeah, and it's kind of, again, like, you know, it's just, okay, you know, we come from an older generation of gamers, you know, where we would go into a game store and look at all these Super Nintendo games. We didn't have the internet to, you know, oh, let me look up the score on this game. The only source that we had of any kind of reviewing was from, like, Tips and Tricks magazine. Nintendo Power, Game Informers. You know, think, was Game Informer back then? No, what was it? You had the Sony magazine.
Was it EGM?
EGM, yes! EGM, thank you, Electronic Game Monthly, yes. You know, those were our sources, magazines, and they only came out once a month, and they didn't really review that many games to begin with. You know, when I go to a game store, you know, nowadays, yes, because games are so much more expensive. Obviously, you want your money, you know, to, you know, you want that dollar to last, you know,
you want it to be worth
it. Make an investment, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of times you can't buy as many games as you like to. So the games you can buy, you want them to be really good.
Exactly. And it just feels like, you know, everybody that's, you know, I'm not going to say I'm obviously guilty of it, you know. I will look up the reviews of a game while I'm at the GameStop. But that's because I'm dropping $30, $40, $50 on a game, not before when I was just dropping $10, $15, $20, you know. Yeah. And even then, you know, games that obviously – I never seen a review for, like, the Blues Brothers. I never saw a review for, like, Nigel Mansell's, you know, World Championship Racing or any other, like, low-profile game on the Super Nintendo, but I still bought it, you know? Just because it wasn't a Mario or a Zelda or a Star Fox doesn't mean I wasn't going to buy it.
There's a funny what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe a funny correlation between how, like, the accessibility of reviews and how people react to them. And yeah. Because it seems like a lot of times now a 7 is kind of seen as a lower score. And
that, 7 to a lot of people is like the bottom of the barrel. Like, nobody wants a 7. Most of the games are actually better than 10 games, in my opinion.
It makes, you know, for me, it makes me think twice about if I want that particular game, if a lot of places are giving it scores like 7s. And, you know, it's strange that on a 1 to 10 scale, 7 is, you know, viewed lower end, but I think that is because we're putting such an investment into each individual game. Like, what would happen if the next Elder Scrolls game is getting generally 7 reviews? Would you think twice about getting it right away?
No, I mean,
like, would it make you buy it?
I would probably still buy it regardless. I would still honestly buy it. For me, a 7 is still average, you know, it's still good. It's obviously, you know, you're gonna have its flaws, but I could see past those flaws. It's not like a massive flaw like that piece of shit Home Alone game you made me play.
You're welcome.
No? Motherfucker. But I think the thing with scores is sometimes I just don't believe what the person says because, you know, it's like that's your opinion on the game. Just because, say, somebody's like, what was the last game that somebody rated bad? I think was it Modern Warfare 3?
I don't remember.
Somebody didn't give it like a perfect 10 like everybody else was. And, you know, the guy was getting given crap. But it's like, you know, that's guy's opinion. Maybe he doesn't like first-person shooters. Maybe he's just tired of the Call of Duty series. Maybe he's just tired of that whole genre in general. That, yeah. You know, it's kind of like it's just because it's like us saying, oh, you know, everybody should go and buy the Home Alone game. It's so fucking awesome. You know, nobody's going to go out and, you know, if somebody doesn't agree with us, they're not just going to be like, oh, well, they said that it was great. I should go buy it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You have to consider the source. And, you know, it's difficult to keep up with people who review games and, like, kind of judge their taste. We don't know game journalists by their name. Maybe yeah, exactly. you might be able to ring off a couple of them, but we don't generally know, like, their taste in games because we don't have a familiarity with these people. And I think a lot of times when general audiences are looking at review scores, they're not reading reviews. They're just going to the bottom line, looking at the score, and it's not to see if it's worth buying. I think a lot of them are just looking to validate their own opinion about the game. Like, there was, for example, there was a lot of hype around Skyward Sword, and I think 1UP, the reviewer at 1UP gave it like an 8.5 and got a lot of crap for it. Now, that's a good score, relatively speaking. Score. But a lot of other sources were giving it 9s and 9.5s and 10s. And it's one of the problems of the 1 to 10 review scale is that, you know, it's all based on opinion, but it just boils down to one number that's supposed to encompass the entirety of the game. And anyway, we can get into the fallacies of the 1 to 10 grading scale another time. But
yeah, but real quick, though, you know, the whole 1 to 10 scale, real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Guideline, like, okay, not a guideline, how can I say, there's not like a base to it, you get me? It's like, what are we comparing this game to?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
it's like you telling me, like, okay, like, what's a great game? It's like saying okay, Super Mario World versus, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog 1, okay, what warrants each one to have that perfect 10? And that's the thing, I think they've used the word perfect 10 and forgot what the meaning of the giving a 10 rating means, you know?
Yeah.
A 10 rating for me is like saying this game is going to be, you know, it's going to leave a legacy. This is a game 20 years from now we're still going to play. You know, it's like Super Mario, you know, Mario World, Star Fox, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda, Link of the Past, the regular Legend of Zelda, you know, Dr. Mario, Tetris, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. You know, what is this game really going to leave such a lasting impression that 20 years from now I'm going to play? Or is it going to be like Halo 3 that nobody plays it anymore? Yeah. But yeah, that got a perfect 10.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm looking up, I'm doing some quick fact checking because there's an example I want to draw to there. But yeah, it doesn't compare one to another, and they're reviewed by different people, and people have different opinions. But I'm going to use a Nintendo example because I'm a Nintendo fanboy. No More Heroes on the Wii got a 7.8, and Metroid Other M got an 8.5. They're both really good games, but if you really think that Metroid Other M is a better game than No More Heroes, then fuck you, because No More Heroes is an awesome game, and Other M is a good game.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like it's all based off of opinion. And also, you know, it's kind of like, I don't, let me get my thoughts back, because I'm just like so, okay, yeah, what I was going to say is like, I just feel like even nowadays, you know, with reviewers, you know, it feels like everybody's on such a deadline that they can't enjoy the game. The games have gotten so much bigger, so much longer, so much more in depth that people just like scrape the surface of them. And not really get into the nitty gritty of the game itself, you know?
Yeah, and because we're in the age of the internet, you know, reviewers are getting these games early, and we want information right away. We want reviews the day the game comes out or before, so we can see, you know, how they've scored and what people think of them. When we don't have to wait, like, for these monthly reviews in magazines to see how a game turns out or see what we should be buying, and it creates this this overload or maybe this this hyper mode of information where we want it all right away and we want it to be good. So, you know, it limits the amount of time that they can spend with the game. They get the early copies and they're able to run through all of them, but you don't get that slow boil. They don't get they have a deadline to reach. They don't really get to contemplate the game as much as we get to. And, you know, deal with its quirks and get used to the different control schemes. I think controls are one of the most hastily rated aspects of a game, because a reviewer is trying to get through the game quickly and doesn't always have the time to get accustomed to everything, you know, the ins and out of the game. But let's, we've been spending a lot of time on little anecdotes here, let's go ahead and move into a couple of studies that were done about game reviews and how they affect sales. So at this year's Game Developer Conference, Jeffrey Zatkin of EDAR, and we're going to be referring to them a few times in this section. So EDAR is the Electronic Entertainment Design and Research, basically a study group for all things electronic and gaming related. So one of the employees there, Jeffrey Zatkin, did a study on average sales in correlation with Metacritic scores. So, of course, Metacritic is a site that compiles reviews from reputable journalists and reviewers on the internet and gives like a basically an average score. So, Carlos, do you use Metacritic at all? Have you ever been on there?
No, not really. I haven't. Well, most of my scores come from IGN, actually.
Yeah, I'm on IGN quite a bit as well. Every once in a while, I'll check Metacritic, but not to get like their overall score because that can be skewed. But to see how other people are reviewing the game. So if I want to check out different reviews, I'll go to Metacritic and find people, you know, of different opinions on the game. And it's basically like the Rotten Tomatoes of gaming and electronics. So it compiles all these reviews and gives the average score. So Jeffrey Zatkin found out that games that score within certain ranges sell more than other games, like over the first 3 months, which is like the crucial months for when games sell. That's what really it's becoming like at release. The more your game sells, the better off. You don't get a whole lot of the slow burn titles like you did on the 3DS, or I'm sorry, the regular DS. So basically, games that score below a 50 sell less than 30,000 copies. Can't feel bad for them because games that score below a 50 are generally bad games. So that would basically be a, like below a 5 on a regular 1 to 10 scale. So you don't really see a whole lot of games that score below a 5 anymore, do you?
No, not really. Well, I mean, very few and far between, but yes. I mean,
and I think a lot of that has to do with the games that sites actually choose to review, higher profile games. They're not reviewing like Hello Kitty Island Adventure. because, you know, why waste your time on that? None of us are going to buy it anyway. So yeah. The games that score like a 60 to 69, basically your D-level games, sell about 57,000 copies. 70 to 79, your C-level games, are selling about 62,000, so a little bit of a jump there. Games between 80 and 89, your B-level games, are selling 236,000 copies. So that's a pretty big jump between your 7 and your 8.
Yeah.
So you can you can see there that it's ideal to not be within that 7 range. You want to move up to at least a B to give your game a fighting chance. And then, you know, of course, your games that are getting general reviews of 90 and above, your A level games, are selling about 700,000 copies. And that's an even bigger jump between the C and the B, is the B to the A. So according to this particular study, your game has the best chance of selling if reviewers are giving it to nines or above.
Jesus, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
It seems like they're putting a lot, it's putting a lot into the hands of game journalists. And of course, I think a game journalist would appreciate that because, you know, their opinions are actually mattering.
Yeah.
But again, I tend to believe that most people who look at reviews are just looking at the bottom line rather than the opinion and seeing if, you know, their opinion would align with that. So, you know, somebody's opinion of a game could be that it's a B game, but you'd be able to overlook some of the shortcomings. So for you, it would be an A. So it might be more worth your time. So
yeah.
The correlation is definitely there, but I think the question would be, is that causation? Is it really the journalist, the reviewer's opinion that is making the game score well? So I have some question about this. Some games that score highly still sell poorly. Now, a couple of examples of that. Rayman Origins came out this past holiday season, and it scored an 88 out of 100 average score on Metacritic from 43 critics, but sold poorly in the first few months. It sold less than 100,000, where according to this EDAR scale, it should have sold about 250,000. Also, Beyond Good and Evil, a generally really well-reviewed game, did not sell all that well. So, just because a game is scoring well, that doesn't mean it's guaranteed to sell 700,000 copies.
Yeah, and it all depends on the actual, you know, the market for it.
Yeah, and I think marketing has a lot to do with it. Games that are really well hyped and have a lot of marketing behind them generally score more positively and generally sell more. I think it has more to do with the marketing than it does with a journalist's opinion of it. And another example, there are some outliers in the opposite direction too. Mario Party games and Just Dance games, you know, aside from Mario Party 9, which, you know, reviewed decently, recent Mario Party games have reviewed poorly, and Just Dance games, they're some of the series that have like 50s or below on Metacritic, so generally reviled by game journalists, but they sell very well. Mario Party games sell a lot of copies, and Just Dance games have sold millions.
Yeah. It's
So the deviance in the review and the sales correlation, it seems to me to indicate that it's not necessarily the reviews that are making people go out and buy these games in droves. And there was another study that I wanted to get into. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about the EDAR study before we move on?
I mean, it's a very interesting study, but I mean, just looking at it, it's kind of like there's so many outside factors to most of these games too that aren't considered, you know. It's kind of like what is popular today compared to what was popular 10 years ago. I mean, Rayman was a very popular game when it came out on Sony PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
But that was what, 10, 15 years ago?
15 years ago.
Yeah, so it's kind
that
of like...
That makes it feel old, doesn't it?
Oh, God, don't remind me. I actually think about picking it up on the PS3, but regardless of the fact, it's kind of like Rayman has changed so much throughout the years, and then they introduced Rabbids, and then Rabbids has his own series, and it's kind of like, you know, Rayman's window was gone, so that's probably why a game that was rated high didn't sell as well, because it's kind of like, it's Rayman's whatever, you know?
Yeah, the awareness dropped off.
But when it comes to games like Mario Party, and especially Just Dance with the Kinect, and, you know, the Kinect being such a popular accessory for the Xbox 360 right now, you know, people like nowadays just want to sit down and have fun together. You know, Rock Band, Guitar Hero was a major thing back, you know, until recently, you know.
Yeah, Just Dance is the new Guitar Hero.
Exactly, that's what it is. And then Mario Party, obviously it's Mario Party. Nobody's going to hate on Mario Party. We've been playing Mario Party since 1964.
Yeah, and let me just clarify. Nobody is sitting down and having fun with Kinect. You got to stand.
Exactly. Exactly, and it gives you another initiative to, you know, have fun just because you're playing a video game, but you are, you know, exercising, which is kind of weird to say about a video game, but you are.
Yeah. So there was another study that EDAR did back in 2010 where they gathered up 165 participants, and they were divided into three groups. The first group were given reviews to read about Plants vs. Zombies that were highly praising the game. The second group was given reviews of Plants vs. Zombies that were very negative on the game, very critical of it. And the third group weren't given any reviews on the game. And then each group, after checking out the reviews, or as you know, except for the third group who were given no reviews, they played Plants vs. Zombies for 20 minutes. And then they were given the choice to have a copy of the game or to be given $10.
Hmm.
And the results of the study were that the first group, the ones who were exposed to very high reviews of the game, were twice as likely to take the game over the $10 as group two were. So people who were reading negative reviews and then played the game were half as likely to, were actually twice as likely to take the money rather than the game. And then also the control group, the group who were not reading any reviews, were pretty much down the middle. So the group one was 85% more likely to take the game rather than the money. rather than group three. So still pretty significant jump. And that might look like the positive reviews influenced the game at first, but I have a few issues with this particular experiment that, I think we need more information. So generally, not even generally speaking, Plants vs. Zombies is a good game, right?
It is. I love that game.
Yeah, so they were right to agree with the scores. It doesn't show – this doesn't necessarily mean that higher scores mean more sales. It shows that lower scores is actually going to limit scales. So both Group 2 and 3 actually liked the game. What actually happened was when they were basically filling out their comment card, they got to kind of give their own score of the game. So Group 2 and Group 3 score the game relatively well. Group 2 who were exposed to negative reviews of the game actually scored it higher than the reviews did.
Wow.
And as did Group 3. They scored it higher than, like, actually much higher than Group 2, who saw the negative reviews. So the group who didn't see any reviews of the game scored it higher than the group who got negative reviews of the game. So I think you need to do the same experiment two more times with a game that's kind of average and a game that's bad to see how much the numbers deviate here.
Yeah, and that's it. And, you know, you're right. They need to do, you know, just because it happened once, you know, it could honestly be a fluke.
Yeah, and because it is a good game, you know, it seems like negative opinions are actually making them more jaded rather than high opinions convincing them to actually buy the game.
I think what they should do is get a game that's very similar, especially on the Android market. You know how there's a lot of, copycat games?
Yeah.
They should get a copycat game of Plants vs. Zombies and, you know, test it out. You know, give them, like, amazing, better reviews than what Plants vs. Zombies got, you know, as a fake one, you know. And, you know, try out the experiment again because, you know, it could probably be a crappy game just because it doesn't have the – it could probably have the same feel as Plants vs. Zombies, but obviously it's not going to be Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see what happens with a game like that when, you know, if somebody writes up some fake reviews saying the game is really awesome, to see how it affects their opinions then.
Exactly.
Because I think people are far more likely to disagree with a positive review than they are to – disagree with a negative review. It's more likely that they're going to say it's more likely that they'll say that's not awesome, it sucks, rather than it doesn't suck, it's awesome. I think that people tend to be less apologetic when most people think that the game is terrible.
Yeah, and then just doing seeing the experiment being done, like from what you told me. You know, it just brings me back to when I used to study psychology in high school, you know, learning about these things. You know, one's opinion is going to skew your opinion, you know. It's the whole mentality of everybody. It's pretty much like politics, you know. If somebody tells you one thing, you know, people who like that politician are going to believe one thing, and then the other people are going to oppose. So it's kind of like, you know, true finding in all this is the control group. You know?
Yeah, the people who don't actually
know anything,
exposed to other people's opinions. I know that's why the control group exists, to see how much people deviate from that control group. And they definitely deviated more in the positive group from the control group. So it seems like what I think would happen here is most people like the game, but negative opinions drag it down, or no opinions drag it down. So people are waiting for that sort of validation.
I know what we should do. What Gamers Unanimous should do. Make a sequel. Call it Shaq Fu 2.
Yes.
You see where I'm going with this?
Shaq Fu 2 Electric Boogaloo. Shaq Fu 2, Fu Harder.
Fu Harder. Nice. Shaq Fu, now starring the Boston Celtics.
Right, Kevin Garnett. He comes out in a walker. Anyway, you don't beat up children and old men. Kevin Garnett is the old man. Yeah, I like this. I think we need to get Shaq on board. And
but see, that's what they should do. They should get like the most craptastic game you could possibly find. You know?
Yeah, and see that's the other end of the experiment, to see how reviews are actually affecting the game. And I think Shaq Fu is a really good game to do that with, because it's such a shit game. But if you get people in a room and have them play the game and give them reviews saying it's really awesome, see how much that affects it.
I got it. Even better than Shaq Fu. We'll get an Atari 2600.
Uh-huh.
You see where this is going?
E.T.
E.T. Nice. But just put a 2 on it and say, hey, you know, because you know how so many games nowadays are coming out for like older systems? There's a new game coming out for the Super Nintendo soon. There was a new game that came out for the NES a couple of years back. We should make a game for just stamp E.T. 2 and make it's better than the first, we promise. That would be the tagline.
That would be interesting, because I think a lot of people who know that E.T. is a shit game
don't buy it.
Yeah, have never actually played it. Like when
it's a shit game.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned Atari 2600 and I knew you were actually going to mention a shit game, I automatically went to E.T. even though I've never played it.
It's a shit game.
I believe you. I don't think you would you'd lie about that, but it'd be interesting to see it relabeled, get some new reviews, and see how people react to it then.
Exactly.
So I think that reviews do affect opinion, but I don't know if they affect opinion enough to say that they're important to sales. I think that people's own opinions are usually already decided on a game before it comes out. Like a lot of people already decide that they're going to like a game, you know, because it's based on a franchise or because they really like the way it looks.
Perfect example. I got two perfect examples right now. One, Grand Theft Auto 5 that's coming out later this year.
Right.
Don't know what the reviews are? I'm going to get it. Assassin's Creed 3. Don't know what the reviews are going to be? I already got it on pre-order. And whenever it comes out, Super Smash next.
Yeah.
You're going to get it regardless if it's a shit game.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's a good time to play multiplayer. You always have fun playing Smash Brothers. You know,
exactly.
The one game is think about it while I talk about mine, but think about if there's a game that's reviewed well that you think is shitty. So here's my example. I don't understand the appeal of Crazy Taxi. Like,
what?
I've played that game, and it's generally reviewed positive, but I don't like it.
See, and there's where we... I love Crazy Taxi. I wish they would make a new Crazy Taxi for the PS3 or the Xbox 360. Not really the Wii, but you know what I mean. You know, it's kind of like...
The Wii U. The Wii U.
Okay, maybe the Wii U. Maybe the Wii U. But, you know, is that such, like... Wow.
Yeah, I wish they had made another level in Crazy Taxi, because you drive around that one city... And then you finish, and then you just drive around the one city again and pick up the same people.
Because, again, it got ported. I think I can't remember if the game came out first or the arcade came out first.
I think it was the arcade that was first.
Yeah, arcade first and then the Dreamcast version. So, obviously, that's your major problem there. It's like saying, oh, why am I playing the same level in House of the Dead over and over and over again, you know?
But House of the Dead is so much more satisfying because you get to shoot things.
Or it's like saying, you know... It's like saying Resident Evil 2. Why am I stuck in the fucking police station the whole game?
Oh, that police station was fucking trippy as hell.
It was trippy as hell.
That was
an
amazing police station.
Or saying Resident Evil 4. Why am I coming to the same goddamn church all the damn time? I cannot believe I just said those exact words in that same sentence.
Well, you know.
I'm hell.
I wouldn't argue with you about the flaws of Resident Evil 4, but it's still an awesome game.
Oh yeah, it's an awesome game, but it's kind of like, you know, there's a whole thing behind Crazy Taxi. It's like saying, why is it that every time we start a new Mario game, we always play the same first level? Why can't they switch it up to something different? Why can't we start at Bowser's at the beginning and work our way back home?
You know, a quick side note, me and Ryan have been playing through Lost Levels on Super Mario All-Stars, and that game is fucking unfair.
Dude, I already beat it, and I beat the extra levels.
Oh, the ABC?
Yep.
Yeah, we're on C3 right now.
Yep, I beat all the A levels. I beat all the one level, all the number levels. Mm-hmm. That's a very unfair game. It really is. I'm not gonna lie, especially with that fucking poison mushroom that you don't know at the beginning.
Well, in the Super Mario All-Stars version, the poison mushroom is actually blue.
So. Yes, but regardless of the fact, it's kind of like, you're just like, as soon as you hear the you automatically think, ah, that's a mushroom, let me go grab it. Oh, shit, I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent. I think that, I think we've got this subject pretty well covered. Any final thoughts you want to throw out about it?
No.
All right, really. Cool. Well, if you have any questions, comments, or different takes on the our opinion on our reviews here, you can shoot us an email. I am John, J-O-N, at gamersunanimous.com.
And I'm Carlos, at Carlos, at gamersunanimous.com.
Follow us on Twitter, gamersunanimous. Like us on Facebook, gamersunanimous. And keep it with our blog on my IGN. So, until next time, everybody.
Deuces.